Let's take our Bibles, if you would, and turn to Proverbs chapter number 3. Proverbs chapter number 3. We've had 3 weeks since we've been here in Proverbs due to some of the Christmas season and New Year's Eve and all those things happening. But we find ourselves picking up where we left off in Proverbs 3, and we'll read verse 5 and verse 6 this evening. And those are very, very familiar verses. As a matter of fact, those verses are often used in testimonies. People will mention those verses. For some, it is even their life verse. And so those are certainly familiar verses. And so let's read them together this evening. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. Let's try to do that together. All right? Can we do that? All right. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. So we find here those two verses, and I said those words are very familiar to us. Often even you'll find these inscribed on a portrait, maybe in somebody's home on the wall. And you will repeatedly hear those words quoted when as a life verse or as a testimony, and often these two verses have been a great help to people's lives. Now, what we find here is I am interested in a word that has been occurring in the last two chapters, well, the beginning of chapter 3 and in chapter 2, and in verse 5, the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. We have already addressed the importance of the heart. As mentioned in the opening the opening chapter 3, notice in the first verse, my son, forget not my law, and notice, let thine heart keep my commandments. And we emphasize that, when we're talking about living the Christian life, we must never think of it in terms of, well, we have to do certain things out of duty or out of a ritual. That's not the Christian life. We understand that everything we do must come from the heart. He said later, notice in verse number 3, let not mercy and truth forsake thee, bind them about thy neck. Notice, write them upon the table of thine heart. And so there's been an emphasis on the heart in the first opening verses of chapter number 3. And we've discussed that and talked about the importance of the heart. And we looked at some examples. We saw that Ezra prepared his heart before meeting the king. We looked at Daniel, who purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat. And we talked about the importance of the heart. And there are two verses that are often emphasized here that mention again the heart. Now those verses here, they bring a lot of comfort to us, but I think that often we may look at those only as comfort and not really in a way to confront us with our own lives and how we go about living our own lives. Notice, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. He says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. I want to preach this evening a message that I've entitled, Trust in the Lord and Not Yourself. Trust in the Lord and not yourself. You know, I think often in our lives we like to emphasize the trust in the Lord part, but we don't like to discuss the not trusting in ourselves. Because I think that if we are honest with ourselves, we like to do both. Do we not? When it comes to our way and the way we go about conducting our lives, often if we're not careful, because we want to be spiritually minded, we want to mention the Lord, but we want to mention him as a tag-along, not as the one by whom we live our lives. But here, there's a clear distinction here. The words that he uses is trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. There's really here no In those verses, we don't find the idea of, well, you choose your path and find if God can bless it. That's not the idea. The idea is that God is the director. He is the one that dictates everything that takes place in our lives. Now, I want to deal with three things this evening that we find in those verses as we consider the truth that those two verses communicate. First of all, we consider the dependence on the Lord. The dependence on the Lord. In verse 5, he begins by saying, trust in the Lord, notice, with all thine heart. There's two things here, two elements that we examine in our dependence upon the Lord. If our dependence is to be right, let me say that again. If our dependence is to be right, it must be both singular and total. If our dependence is to be right, it is to be both singular and total. Notice those words again. Trust in the Lord. And then he adds, with all thine heart. So clearly here as we come to these two verses, we are made aware of our dependence upon the Lord. And we see two aspects or two elements of our dependence for our dependence to be complete and to be right. And the first one is, consider first of all the singularity of our trust. The singularity of our trust. He says here, trust in the Lord. In order for our dependence upon the Lord to be effective in our lives, it must be singular. That's why then he says, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In other words, there's no room. He's given us the warning in the first two chapters not to listen right to the voice of the wicked. He talked about in chapter 1. Then in chapter 2, he talks about how we can be delivered. Listen to the words that comes out of his mouth, because they will deliver you from the evil man and they will preserve you from the strange woman. And so we find here that the trust is to be singularly in the Lord. The believer is not to trust in the Lord and in other relationships and in material gains and in anything else. You see, the trust in the Lord is to be a singular trust, no one else. In other words, we establish from the book of Proverbs that it's not just about getting the wisdom of God and then adding the wisdom from everybody else. It's about trusting in the Lord alone. And if we're truly going to be dependent upon the Lord, our trust must be singular. You see, often what we can do if we're not careful is we can have this element in our minds. We say, well, I believe the Bible and I use the Bible, but then we add things to it. We perhaps add the wisdom of the world. And we say, well, you know, I like what this person said over here. That makes sense to me. And then we add that to trusting in the Lord, where we trust in something or someone else. And so if our dependence is going to be right, it must be singular. Throughout the Bible, let me give you a few areas that show us in the book of Proverbs already how we must be careful not to trust in anything else in the Lord. Let's go to Proverbs 28. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 28. Let's look at an example here in Proverbs 28. Notice if we go down with me to verse number 25. Notice Proverbs 28, verse 25. The Bible says, he that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife, but he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. Now notice here there's a contrast, if you would. He that is of a proud heart. Notice the heart there is mentioned. We're supposed to trust the Lord, right, with all of our hearts. Here he says, he that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife, but he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. And so the proud heart is the heart that says, I'm in charge. It is my dictate. It is my wisdom. I make the decision. I'm not going to have everybody tell me what to do. But we know that he that puts his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. You see, the proud heart is the heart that says, I'm going to do it my way because I want to have increase. I want to have gain instead of the Lord. And by the way, that never satisfies. But he that trusts in the Lord shall be made fat. That means that person will be satisfied. In chapter 29, notice in verse 25, he says, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe.
So notice here, the idea of fear of man brings a snare. In other words, if we listen to men and kind of say, well, this idea that, well, I fear the Lord, but I shall also fear man, so that means I trust the Lord and I trust in man and what man says, then that will bring a snare. It will entrap us. You see, that is laid in contrast with putting your trust in the Lord. He whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made safe. And so our dependence upon the Lord is a singular trust. You know, we live in an age where there is much information. There's internet, there's podcasts, there's, what do you call those articles that people post online? A blog, you know, there's all those things. And those things, by the way, can be used for the glory of God. But if we're not careful, what we often do is we seek for answers outside the Word of God to all those avenues. And we listen to what people say, and we listen to people's opinions, and we listen to people that often say, well, this worked for me. Let me say something. The Word of God will work for everybody. It's not going to be, well, you know, it worked for this idea, worked for this person, but it may not necessarily work for us here. The wisdom of God works for all. And so we must be careful today not to listen to some voices that say out there, say, well, look, it seems like, and by the way, you can talk about child rearing, you can talk about relationships, marriage relationship, you can talk about the church and all these things. The wisdom that we need is found in the Word of God, and our trust must be singular in the Lord. And we must be careful of all the other voices that are out there. You have to be careful. If something comes in where that kind of makes you puffed up, where you think, ah, I have it figured out, you will find that often it is something that goes against the Word of God. Something that you like to hear. That makes sense. That appeals to your natural state. You must be careful. So we find that the singularity of our trust, but the second element is the totality of our heart. Notice he says, trust in the Lord, so that's singular, but then he says, with all thine heart. Not part of it. And notice he says, he could have said, trust in the Lord with your heart. No, he says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. The heart must always be considered before our ways. Notice here, because that's where it begins in those two verses. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Understand, before we talk about our ways and our path, we must deal with the heart. That's where it is. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. I want you to go with me to Proverbs chapter 14. In the 14th chapter, we understand this idea as he communicates about the heart. And I was amazed that I was studying the heart when we, in our last study, when we talked about thine heart, the message was thine heart. We looked throughout Proverbs and the mentions of the heart, and it is all throughout the book of Proverbs. You know, by the way, in child rearing, what you're trying to do is you're not trying to inculcate a child just in rules. What you're trying to do is you're trying to gain their heart. I remember growing up, there was a transition. I to be honest with you, a child does not like discipline. It's not like, say, well, yeah, I'm going to get corrected by my father and I'm going to get spanked, you know. There was no joy in that. It was not a fun thing. It was a painful thing. But there was a transition in my life growing up, and I can't remember exactly how it happened, but I remember I didn't want to do the wrong thing because I didn't want to have pain. I was afraid to get caught because I was afraid of the consequences. But something happened along the line where I became afraid to disappoint my father. And that was always a greater motivation than the fear of pain. You see, what God is interested in is the heart. Because if He has the heart, He has the whole. You see, we must be aware it is possible for us to do the right thing, but our heart not be right with God. But it is impossible for our hearts not to be right, to be right with God and us not do the right thing. You see, the heart is what must be emphasized. And here he says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. In Proverbs chapter 14, notice in verse 14 what he says here. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. You see, a backslider in heart. The heart, again, is the issue. And that backslider shall be in his heart. He shall be filled with his own ways. You see, we made a point in our previous study to consider the guests that we invite into our hearts. The Lord should be our only and supreme guest. And we made that point. If He is removed from our hearts, it is because we have invited other guests in who have driven out the one who is to be the supreme guest. That happens in the heart. Now let's look at some examples in Proverbs chapter number 6. Because he deals again, he mentions the heart as he's talking about the influences that are out there, by the way, that are there to gain the heart. Notice in Proverbs chapter 6 and verse number 25. He's talking here about the strange woman that he introduced in chapter number 2. And here in Proverbs 6, he mentions her again, but notice what he says in verse number 25 of chapter 6. He says, "Lust not after her beauty in thine," what? "Heart. Neither let her take thee with her eyelids." So notice here, as he's given this warning to his son, to this young man, he says, "Lust not after her beauty in thine heart." The warning is this: before you commit any act, you have to understand that she is going to gain your heart. And by the way, before any sin is committed, before any ungodly action is committed, the heart has been won over. And so he says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. You cannot leave room for your heart to wander and to have an affection for anyone or anything else apart from the Lord. You see, in this case, he says, my son, do not invite the strange woman to take some room and to give thought to the strange woman in your heart. Don't contemplate on her. Don't invite this guest in. Understand that the moment you invite a guest into your heart, God begins to move out. You've given priority to another guest. And as a result, you've driven God out. Let's go to Proverbs 23. Let's look at another one. Another reference here to the heart and the influence where the heart can be drawn away from the Lord. In Proverbs 23, notice in verse 17, he says, "Let not thine heart envy sinners." He says, "But be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long." Oh, what a wonderful verse. Let's read it again. "Let not thy heart envy sinners." There it is again. My son, don't allow this idea, don't allow the affection. You witness something, you hear a conversation, you see a behavior, and all of a sudden this guest comes into your heart and your heart begins to think about it. What does the Bible tell us? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And so we must be careful what we invite into our hearts. It is very dangerous for us to sit back and to start thinking about things and to start thinking about sin, because we're inviting that guest into our hearts, and as a result, we're not trusting in the Lord with all of our heart. Another guest has been invited in. You see, God, if we are going to be dependent upon the Lord, there has to be a singularity of our trust and there has to be a totality of our heart. In Matthew 6, 21, Christ put it this way. He says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light." Single eye, single heart. You see, that's why our dependence upon the Lord must be singular and total. There is no other way to trust in the Lord. It can't be the Lord and somebody else or something else. It can't be that we give a part of our heart to God and part of our heart to other things or to other people or to other priorities. It cannot happen. If we do so, we are not trusting in the Lord. I like the example of Job. Job is a great example of what it means to trust in the Lord with all your heart. You remember, he lost everything, didn't he? He once was rich and he became poor. He once had a family and he suffered through their loss. He once enjoyed good health and he became afflicted with a devastating disease. His wife, who had previously stood by him, commanded him to curse God and die. He once was honored as a man of integrity but became reviled by his own friends. Yet Job found himself unable to answer the accusation of his friends, and he plainly declared in Job 13:15, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him." I don't understand everything. I don't understand why everything is happening to me, but I singularly and completely trust in him. You see, his heart decided not to wander towards other things, although he was severely tempted to do so. Now we know he learned the lesson, and later we find that this trial in his life brought him closer to the Lord, as he declared in the second to last chapter. And so we find here in this verse, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Our dependence upon the Lord must be singular and it must be total. But I want us to consider secondly, not only do we see the dependence on the Lord, but secondly, we see the danger of self. And here is, if you would, because we like to mention those verses, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. And all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. You know, I think that we like to emphasize certain things when we quote the scriptures. But that second, that middle part right there, and lean not unto thine own understanding. You see, that's where the trouble comes in. There's the danger of self. The word lean means to rely on. It means to rest on. It means to lie upon. So when he says, lean not unto thine own understanding, he's basically saying, don't rely upon your own understanding. Don't rest. Don't put confidence in your own understanding. And I think that we see two things concerning this. Now, by the way, Proverbs 28:26, let's look at that. Let's look at that verse, Proverbs 28:26. Let's look at that verse because it goes very well with the verse here at hand of not leaning upon or relying or trusting in our own understanding. In Proverbs chapter number 28, and notice in verse number 26, he says this, "He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered." So notice here, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. You know, you hear this phrase thrown out there often today, just follow your heart. Trust your heart. That's hogwash. That's someone trying to tell someone something fuzzy. They have no idea what that means. What does that mean, trust in your heart? The Bible says the heart of man is desperately wicked above all things. Who can know it? You see, God knows our hearts better than we know our own hearts. And so God says, if you trust in your heart, you're a fool. If you lean upon your own understanding, understand you are not to do that. And so it brings us to two things as we consider the danger of self. In this verse, lean not unto thine own understanding. First of all, we have to understand the inclination of man. What is our inclination? Well, our inclination is to be self-sufficient. Our inclination is we don't need God. We don't need anybody. As a matter of fact, our inclination is we want to impress people around us. We want to show people how we are self-reliant, how we can make it, and we don't need anybody. And that's how we are naturally. That is the inclination of man. Go with me to Proverbs 16. I mean, the book of Proverbs is so rich. It's just impressive. God is impressive. Notice Proverbs 16. Notice verse 25, what he says. He says this, verse 25, "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." You see, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man. In other words, that's the inclination of man. Man looks at a certain thing, he is about to make a certain decision, and he is convinced that he's right. He is convinced that is the right life to live. He is convinced that that is the right thing to do. He's convinced that it is the right thing to say. But the end thereof are the ways of death. You know, if that doesn't speak of our society today that has gone mad, where people are saying all kinds of things that make absolutely no sense, and to them it seems like that's good, that's right, that's the right thing to do. It seems right. That's the problem. It seems right, but it's not. Well, that makes sense, doesn't it? It seems to be the right thing, but it's not. The end thereof are the ways of death. You see, the inclination of man, as Isaiah 53, we've all gone astray. Go with me in Romans chapter 3. He lists pretty clearly the inclination of man. He says in Romans chapter 3 and verse 10, he says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Verse 11, there is none that understandeth. There it is. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Why? Because there's nobody that understands on their own. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They're out of the way. They're all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongue they have used deceit. The poison of asps is on their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. You see, in the world there is no understanding. What they consider understanding is foolishness. You see, we have to understand the inclination, and that's why God says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding, because that is your inclination. I got life figured out. I got all the answers. I can make it. So we see the inclination of man, but secondly, we see the ineptitude of man. You see, he says, lean not unto thine own understanding. You know why? Because we're inept on our own. Now, I know that that's not pleasant to say, but we must say it. Do we realize, let's stop, do we look at the society without God, without the Bible? Do you see what it looks like? Well, imagine if God had never given us His Word, had never given us His Spirit, be involved in convicting man of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Can you imagine the world we would be living in? Men left to their own understanding? And so we find that man is completely inept on his own apart from God. In Proverbs 16, in verse 2, the Bible says, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. You see, man looks at his own way and says, oh yeah, I'm clean, I'm good. I got this. And yet the Bible says, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. You see, man will think only rationally and not spiritually. And by the way, there's a danger for Christians when he says, I believe as he says, lean not unto thine own understanding. He's thinking here, you're thinking only temporal. You're thinking only of this life now. He says, as he says, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. That's how he perceives things. That's how he looks at things. He can only see things temporally. And therefore, he makes decisions based upon the temporal. But the Lord weigheth the spirits. You see, God is the one who helps us to step above the temporal. And that's why he says, don't lean on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. I think that today we live in a society that likes to walk with, if you would, both crutches. Well, and it's probably the wrong term to use, but people are leaning upon their own understanding, upon their own way, instead of leaning on the Lord. Or sometimes they like to do both. Well, I got a little Bible here and a little wisdom of the world here, and let's combine the two. And you can't do that. You see, he doesn't say, trust in the Lord for some of your life and then add a little bit of your understanding. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not. Now, you see, there's no room. There's not lean a little bit. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Don't add anything to it. It is a full reliance. You see, there are things in the Scripture that often they say, well, I just don't understand how this all works. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. I just don't see, Pastor, you understand. I don't see how this will all work out for the best. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. We must stop thinking in our own minds as well, that makes sense to me. No, we must say, this is what the Word of God has declared, and therefore I trust it. So we see the dependence on the Lord, but we see the danger of self. But thirdly, we see the direction of the Lord. If you go back with me to Proverbs 3, notice in verse 5 again, he says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Here is verse 6. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. In verse 5, he says, all your heart. And then in verse 6, he says, all thy ways. You see, he leaves no room again. You see, God is not someone we tag along in our life and says, well, I'm going to do this and I need God to... You know, often sometimes we do that in our prayers. We want something. We haven't asked if that's God's will. We just want it. And then we say, well, God, would you bless it? That's not the way it works. The Christian life is not, well, that's what I want. God, would you agree with me? That's not the Christian life. The Christian life is, God, what you want me to do? Let me find out what your will is. And so the direction of the Lord is clear. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Now, this is specific, but also it covers every base. All thy ways acknowledge him. You see, I think that what we like to do is we sometimes compartmentalize the Christian life, and we like God to get in on the big stuff. Sickness. Tragedy. Heartbreak. We need God for those things. But you know, the other small things, you know, like our daily finances, there are certain things we don't need God for. He says, in all thy ways acknowledge him. You see, God doesn't come in at the most important parts of our lives. He should be in every part. In all thy ways acknowledge him. In other words, there is no part of our life, there is no compartment of our life where God must be left out. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Now, there is a difference here. Those two words are interesting. He says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. The word ways and paths, we say, oh, these are this, but they're really different words. The word ways means like the course of your life or the direction you take. So it could be generally speaking of your life. It could speak of your journey or your custom or your behavior or your pattern of life. And so the Bible says, in all thy ways acknowledge him. As you go along this life, as you live through this life, as you take the course of your life, as you plot out the direction of your life, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Now the word paths means a well-trodden down road. It is a set path. In other words, it is a road that has been well traveled. So notice he says, in all thy ways, in the course of your life, in all thy ways, when you're about to make a decision, make sure that every compartment of your life, you acknowledge God. God needs to be part of it. In the direction, in the course of your life, God must be involved in every part. And by the way, when he is, he will direct your path. Now, I believe there's a reason why the word path is used, because, again, the word means it is a well-traveled road, a well-trodden road. In other words, he says, as you think about the course of this life, make sure you acknowledge God so that he can direct you to the path where the saints have always gone, to the right direction. You see, the world, there are many ways in the world. There are many ways the world goes about to do things. The road is broad, right? There are many different options. There are many different things to do. But the road for the disciple of Jesus Christ is narrow. There's only one road. And everybody that is a Christian must go through that road. It is well worn out. As a matter of fact, you can go through the pages of human history and you can see the people of God on that narrow road that has been well traveled because they have followed God. But the way of the world, they're plotting out their own way. But God wants to direct us to this one road that is well traveled, that where people have gone for through before, and there's examples for us. It is not something new. You see, the world is always discovering something new. Here's a new way. Here's a new standard for life. Here's a new way to look at men. Men are not men. Men can be women. And all those things, it's crazy. And people are looking on different ways. But the way of truth is the same. It doesn't vary. It is well traveled. You can actually see the beaten path. It has never changed. It has never adapted to society. It has always remained the same because it is of God. Let's look at a few examples as we consider the word paths. And notice in Proverbs chapter number 6, in chapter 6, he says something in verse 6. We know this verse. We quote it often. He says, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise." So all he says here is, look at her ways. Look at the direction of her life. Look at the way she goes. Now, obviously, he's talking about laziness and providing for his own here in the context. But notice he says, consider her ways. Consider how she goes about conducting her life. And let's go to Proverbs 14. In Proverbs 14, notice in verse number 2. "He that walketh in his uprightness feareth the Lord, but he that is perverse in his ways despiseth him." If we look back at the course of our life, if we are perverse in our ways, then we despise the Lord. So that's what he says. But he that walks upright, that's the one that fears the Lord. Let's look at verse 12 of the same chapter. There's a good one. "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." You see, there is a way, again, that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You know, we ask ourselves, how can we summarize those verses? I believe there's a proverb that summarizes those two verses. Go with me to Proverbs 23, verse 26. Proverbs 23, notice verse number 26. Notice, "My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways." My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. You see, because the person that says, "I'm going to trust in the Lord with all my heart. I'm not going to lean upon my own understanding. I'm going to acknowledge Him in all my ways." And then you see Him direct your path. You see, so how do we sum up this verse? It's this, let's give our hearts to the Lord, all of it. And then see, let our eyes observe His ways. Let's look at what God will do if we just give Him all of our hearts. Let's look at how God directs our paths. Let's look at what God does and how He takes our lives. But for that to happen, He must have all of our hearts. So again, trust in the Lord, not yourself. You see, there are things that are pretty clearly laid out in God's Word that there are certain things, are we aware of, that we do not need to pray about? I mean, we could go with a lot of practical wisdom in the book of Proverbs. And, you know, we say, we read a verse, and, well, I know I need to do this, and this is how I need to conduct my life. Let me pray about it. We don't have to pray about that. It's clearly laid out in God's Word. This is how we live our lives.
And so therefore, that's how we must go about and conduct our lives. And so may the Lord help us. Because the danger comes in, God must have all of our hearts, and we must be aware that there are other things that are going to try to capture our hearts. We're going to perhaps lean a little bit too much upon ourselves, upon our own understanding, upon coursing our own way through this life and making our own decisions. But may, in all of our ways, may we acknowledge Him and then see Him direct our paths. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could all say at the end of our lives when we meet the Lord, God directed me all the way? And I think there's a song, right? Jesus led me all the way. That's what we need to be able to say as Christians. But if we lean upon ourselves, we won't be able to say that. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. May the Lord help us.